No.
Oh. Oh, you're on.
I'm on. Okay, for those of you who know me, I don't do microphones. So this is a new experience.
Yeah, that was it is a new experience for a lot of reasons. That was a good song, the first time song. This is the first time I have ever heard my wife speak publicly.
Because I don't speak much.
I'm always teaching somewhere else, and she's always teaching somewhere else. And this is the first time we've ever done anything together. So we'll see how it goes. I've never taught anything with her. I hear you're a good teacher, though.
I hear the same about you.
One of the things we met with James, and we talked about what we wanted to do out of his list of seven things, and we chose the priorities one because that has been a theme in our relationship and a challenge, but also something that we've tried to be intentional about. I know the first time that I met Brooke was actually the moment that I knew I wanted to marry her. So she stole my heart, I guess, from the very first time that I saw her. And I was dating somebody at the time. Her name was Tanya. And she was actually, when I was with Brooke on our first date, or actually it wasn't a date, we were doing a mission trip up in Albany, Georgia. I had to sort of work Tanya out of my life a little bit and get to know Brooke better. So
I was his priority.
We were working on priorities right from the start. But the I definitely am a work in progress, and we both are, but I probably had a lot more work to go than she did. We come from different types of family. I was a patriarchal family. Brooke was a matriarchal family. And so that didn't blend too well in terms of the way things ought to go. And the first time that I really became aware that there was going to be some conflicts was when we were single and or married, but we were without kids and living in a little... I didn't tell you I was going to say some of this stuff. We were, you know, I came from a home where the wives made dinner and the men sort of watched TV and did things.
But see, this is the thing about it. Then they watched TV, and then they watched TV some more. And then they watched TV. That was all they did all the time. And maybe they shared a deep thought.
Right, so. But I was sitting at the table, actually, this occasion, waiting for dinner to arrive. And the plate of food was dropped from, I think, about 6 or 8 inches off the table. Just straight down. I can remember the words exactly. Here's your dinner, Your Highness. And I realized at that moment that our marriage was going to be a little different from the way that some of the ones that I had seen before. So we've had to work on it. But we actually had the first 4 or 5 years of our marriage were really great. We had no kids. We lived...
We're talking about priorities, right?
Yeah, I'm getting to priorities. But we lived in Chicago, Charlotte, North Carolina, in Orlando. So we lived in different places, and we did a lot of really great things together, and we spent a lot of time together. But after the children came, and one of the things that also happens in church life with pastors is the job gets very demanding. And so I was actually spending a lot of time trying to get different classes going at the church in Charlotte, St. John's in Charlotte. I was the person in charge of adult education, and so it's a lot of nights out. And I was spending 4 to 5 nights out a week. And we had Chase, who's a young baby, and it was really beginning to take a real toll on Brooke. And I think that's where some real conflicts over priorities began to show up in our marriage. I'll let Brooke talk for a little bit.
That was a trying time in our marriage. And I really, it really got bad when after Chase was born in the one, I could handle it pretty well. And it was after he was born, it was a bit of a euphoric time. When Ashton came along 22 months later, it was much more trying. And he actually was typically out 3 to 4 nights a week. But I think for me, I felt pretty abandoned in that here he had been home so much for Chase. And then for Ashton, he was gone so much. And it was, you know, here I have two babies, essentially. I have two kids in diapers and he's leaving first thing in the morning and not getting home till 9:30. So, you know, you wives can appreciate the fact I'm doing everything all day long, not getting any backup at night and still doing bedtime. And so it was a very, very tough time for me emotionally. And my tendency when I'm hurting is to shut down. And so I just kind of disconnect and shut down. Neither of us knew how to make the marriage a priority because we were both operating in our own spheres. I was in my mother's sphere, and he was in his work sphere. And so they weren't meshing very well. And it was by far one of the hardest times in our marriage. And what I really gathered out of this, and I've used it as I've been teaching other women, especially in my last MOPS group that I taught, was really as I started to look at marriage and study just even my life is having to prioritize for myself. And first and foremost, that my first priority is God and my relationship with God. And as I struggled in my marriage, I also struggled in my relationship with God. I struggled as a mother. And so realized that I really had to make that a priority in my life. And then I saw over and over again, not just with myself, but with a lot of my friends, and we had done a Two Becoming One Bible study, so we had other people to bounce things off of, but so often the children can become the second priority as opposed to the husband. And I learned that number one is God, number two is the husband and wife relationship. Number three is children, and what I've had to learn in the past few years is then number four is my work. And I've had a whole other experience as I've brought work experiences and or a whole other challenges I've brought work into our relationship. But and then we also talked today as we were on a walk, and Charlie he brought up the fact that also number two, in between God and spouse too, has to be some self-care. And that's for wives and for husbands, of that we have to have that relationship with the Lord, and we have to have that time with them, but we also have to have time to rest, take care of ourselves. I think with women, we tend to go, give, serve, make lunches, clean, make dinner, do laundry. It's just one thing after the next thing after the next thing, and we can pretty quickly lose ourselves and what our passions are and our hearts are, and just feel like we're human doings instead of human beings. So that self-care comes in as well.
When when I talk to couples, a lot of times for marriage counseling, I'll have them do a little exercise. And I know I've said this from the pulpit sometimes too, but I'll have them list what are the most important things in their life, in their ideal world. How would they list in terms of their priorities? And I guess because they're talking to a priest, they always say God is number one. But then they say their spouse, and they say their family or their children, their job is always the last. But I say, okay, now list in reality how it's working out for you in your relationship. And it's always reversed. It's always upside down. The job comes first. And whether that job is your church work, or whether it's in a corporate world or your own business or whatever it is, that is the work of your hands. And then the other thing, oftentimes if it's a stay-at-home mother, she will say it's the children. Well, that's her job in a lot of ways. And so that is what rises to the top priority because it's the most demanding. But as you go down, you'll see that marriage and the relationship with God often get the last billing and what happens in reality in your life. So, you know, the challenge for all of us, but it's a challenge for us as well, is to try to get those priorities turned back the right side up. And when they are, the other things begin to fall into place.
I would agree. And there are some things that we've done, and it's been such a work in progress of just having to work through things, communicate, express needs. I mean, I think sometimes as women, we don't often express our needs. What do I need from my spouse? You know, well, he can't make it a priority if I don't actually verbalize it. And Charlie has said to me a number of times, you know, I can't read your mind. If you want me to help you with the dishes, if you want me to do this, if you want me to do that, just tell me, and I'm happy to help. But you have to appreciate the fact that I can't read your mind. And Karen,
it's worse than that. Not only can I not read her mind, I'm also not very thoughtful or intentional about thinking about things like that. I mean, there's a little bit of sin involved with that too. So it's not merely just I can't read her mind, but I'm also fairly, I'm a selfish person. Just like everybody is, but
it always makes me laugh because like Karen and I'll do things together, and we're just I'm working to help her with the dishes or to put something away. You know, we just are so much more in tune as women. We're so much more in tune.
Girl either.
Well, and that's the thing is that we don't marry, fortunately, we don't marry the same sex, but we are so as women we're so quick to pick up on what's needed and what we would want at that situation. And so I've learned that a big thing for me is having communication and making things a priority. If a date night's a priority, I need to say to my husband, I love it if you go ahead and plan it, book the babysitter, do whatever, if that's a priority. One of the things, we didn't raise our hands for date night because we do tip every week we have date day. And so we do try.
We don't just do a night, we do a whole day, James, a whole day.
And we do try and get out on dates, at night once a month or so. But Friday is Charlie's day off. And so we take the whole day and we make our time together a priority during that day. And I have to tell you, when you make a priority, you are going to face so many challenges. And you're going to feel like you can't pay a babysitter, you can't afford to do this, you can't do that. I mean, I would have either his phone ringing or my phone ringing nonstop. And we really had to kind of even set limits of, with our date day, we're not going to take as many phone calls. If it's an emergency, it's one thing. I mean, we both work with people. I have clients and he has people that, do need us at times. But for the most part, we have to guard our time together. And then there are always other opportunities that come up on Fridays. I mean, there are always things that we can do. And we have to make sure, and I'll say, no, I can't do that on Friday because that's my date with my husband. And in fact, people laugh at me because I always say, that's my date day with my man. And but it's something that we have to work hard, even though it's on our calendar. And
you tell him I'm your man?
I tell him you're my man.
All right.
My little handsome man. So, but it's on the calendar, and even with it on the calendar, I'll still have the temptation of, this person wants to do this, or this person needs to do this, or the only time that one of my trainees can meet for coffee is on Friday, or, whatever it is. There are just always so many demands, and there's so many needs. And so we have to hold that one day and say, today the greatest need is our marriage. And we have to have the time together. And it can be little things. I mean, we can go and do Christmas shopping together or do home projects or on our horizon in the very near future is to plant our garden. Or we always take the dog for a walk. And so things like that.
I think the date day once a week or date night or something once a week where you set a priority is a critical thing. I think some other things that we have put into our practice, I mean, a lot of these things come from messing up. When you begin to have things going wrong in your marriage and wrong in your life and you realize, oh, that didn't feel good, that caused a conflict, that was a challenge, and then you make a better covenant. You make a deal with one another of how you're going to put something into the mix that will help avert what caused that conflict in the future. So one of the things that I did when I was back in Charlotte was with her, and I made the commitment that I wouldn't be out with church-related things more nights than I was at home. And that was a very important commitment. It not only is it symbolic in that it says, home time is much more important than church time, but it set some very real boundaries that I could have to enforce with the church, because the church would ask me to do things every single night and every single day and every single weekend if we let it. So we have to put boundaries like that up in order to protect that home time and the family time. It's still hard. I'll give another thing that we've done is we've done these, which you mentioned one, two becoming one class, but we've also done the what was the Love Dare.
Oh yeah.
Love Dare and other classes like that, where we have gotten a ton out of doing those with other couples, and some of the best friends that we have ever made were in the context of doing a small group study with other married couples, and those became our very good friends that we would do things with, and that becomes an accountability to your relationship, because you have couples that are working on the same principles and the same values that you are, and you can hold each other accountable. And so we feel that those kinds of classes are very much a priority to us, and like to see those kinds of things happening in the life of the church, but also just in our own lives. And we've even done marriage counseling, and that is something that recently we went on our date days. We've done some marriage counseling, not because we were, heading on the rocks or anything, but just because we wanted to make our marriage better. And we found a counselor that we really liked and wanted to spend time with. And I'll let Brooke say, but I actually learned a lot in those sessions and in that time. And there's always things that can make your marriage better. You can always improve. But I think, the idea of marriage counseling is a little humbling too, that you would go to something like that. But it was very much worth it from my perspective.
Mm-hmm. That's something we did this summer, and we used some of our time off to do. And yeah, I'm a big fan of therapists. I think everybody should have one or see one. I have to say that, I was really actually challenged to do the marriage therapy, and I was kind of hesitant. And it changed our marriage this summer, guaranteed. It changed our marriage. It helped us understand each other, where we were coming from, our past experiences, how we communicated. That was absolutely huge. It helped us reprioritize. It helped us connect in a whole different way. I felt like this summer was a very, very healing time for our marriage. Having the month off of work for both of us, but again, doing this therapy was beyond, really the benefits were beyond description. And I can't recommend that highly enough. I think, that commitment of that time shows your spouse that it is a priority, that you're willing to invest financially, time, your time, everything. And I think that says a lot. I think it meant a lot more to me than I even expressed to Charlie, that he was willing to go and to do that kind of thing with me and to work on it. I think another thing that as we're talking, and I think about especially, I tend to be a little bit sensitive to mothers and with the young children, and even any people with teenagers or children any age, one of the things with both of us is we really are quality time people. I'm the type of person, though, if I don't have the quality time, again, I have this terrible tendency of shutting down. And what I have found is so often in our schedules, I work at 5:30 in the morning, I come home, we talk about the kids, we race off to our different days, I make sure everybody has everything, and dinner and how bedtime can be a little bit of a free-for-all. What I find is that I need at least 10 to 15 minutes just to connect with Charlie every day. And if I can have that 10 to 15 minutes where we just separate ourselves, and we'll say to the children, you do this, you do this, you work on homework, you take a shower, you go to your thing.
And we yell at them and say, go away!
And, well, and I think, I don't yell. I think it's important for our children to understand, too.
That they're not the center.
That this marriage is a priority, not only for us, but also that they have to respect that. And Ashton said an interesting thing. She said, well, when we were talking about something, she's like, well, you're always with Dad, or you and Dad. And I have to tell you, I took it as a huge compliment that Ashton would see that the two of us were so united. And that she recognized how important it was for us to have time of communication, for us to have our time together, and that we were such a close-knit, twosome that, yes, we weren't going to let things go in between. And children will try to interfere. If you ever have them play off of you, and one, is playing you against the other, and and try and separate you. But, you know, children really can. They like to think that they're the center of the world. They're created, they're come into being thinking they're the center of the world.
Sinners.
But, yes, we all tend to be that way. And thanks for the grace of God. But I think just to demonstrate to them, too, and really, I read the most wonderful book, and it's called How to Really Love Your Children. And one of the things that it said is the most beneficial thing to a child is knowing that their parents are in a committed and loving relationship. And so often they saw, it was a therapist who wrote this book, and he said that so many of the issues that he saw on the periphery were stemming from a marriage that was unstable. So for our children's sake, too, we need to have that strong marriage. But also it's a great thing for them to see.
And I think it's important to have that home time, if you do have kids, to do it not after you've put them off to bed when you're both tired and exhausted. That's not the ideal time. But I had a family that was a mentor in my life when I was in Gainesville at the University of Florida. And they modeled when he came home from work. They would go into their private area and just be, and everybody knew that you left them alone for 20, 30 minutes so that they could sort of reconnect and be, kind of get on the same page, check in, how was your day, and have their alone time, and then come out and deal with all the chaos of the people and the kids and the people they were having over that night or whatever. And it was a wonderful lesson in making the marriage the priority. I want to go back to one thing. This is a learning for me this year more than any other year. I knew it, but I didn't really put it into practice. But the at the beginning of this year, I had a little trip to the hospital, and I didn't really tell too many people, so I don't want to spread this around, you know. But I was feeling chest pains. It was right after Urban Meyer was feeling his chest pains, and I was kind of having sympathy pains with Urban.
And, more so now.
And I should have just gone over to Dr. McGee and gotten checked out or something, but instead I went down to the hospital, and then if you go there, they're going to keep you. So I was stuck there for like a day and a half in the hospital, and thankfully it wasn't anything that had to do with my heart. It was probably more acid reflux, and the big thing that the doctor said was, you got to lose some weight, buddy. You know, that's the bottom line here. You need to take off about 20 or 30 pounds or you're going to have some problems. And that became a very much of a priority for me. And there's an interesting I brought the Bible up here just for there's a wonderful passage in Ephesians about husbands and wives, and I think you all know about it, where it talks about wives submitting to their husbands. This is the part I wanted to bring up. If you back up a little bit, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21, it says submit to one another out of reverence for the Lord. The teaching here is mutual submission. And wives are to submit to their husbands, and husbands are to also submit to their wives. And one of the things that Brooke has been it's important to her, you know this from knowing her, is health. She is very into exercise and eating right and this sort of thing. And here her husband is one of the ones that she has the most concerns about. And I didn't realize how it was hurting her. Me not taking care of myself was actually hurting her. And so one of the things that is an application from this passage that I think is interesting, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain, wrinkle, or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And after all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church, for we're members of his body. And I had some new insight to that we are to... you know, the way that we take care of ourselves is a reflection of how we take care of our spouse. And if we are not, putting that kind of self-care, and I'm not saying be selfish. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, be healthy for the sake of your marriage, for the sake of, it's kind of like the thing that the stewardess says, you know, put the oxygen max on your face first, then on your children's. You're not good for anybody or good for anything if you're not well. And that goes not only for your physical health, but also for your spiritual health, your emotional health. All of these things affect. And so part of making a marriage a priority is getting well as a person and being a healthy and God-centered person that is well-adjusted emotionally and spiritually and physically, so that you can be all that God has intended you to be for your spouse. And so there you go. What do you think about that one?
I like it. I like that very much. And you know, I have some health coaches, so for Take Shape. You know, one of the things, I know we're wrapping up, but that I have to say is making your marriage a priority, making it absolutely a daily purpose to love your husband or to love your wife. I mean, we are sinners, and we do get wrapped up in our own worlds and our own agendas and our own things. But making a daily intention to truly know what it means to love our husbands. And sometimes we have challenges with that. And Beth Moore said something that I will never forget. And she said sometimes she was talking about having a hard time even being able to forgive. And she just said, I have to pray for the desire to forgive. Sometimes, you know, praying for the desire to love someone more than ourselves, to be willing to sacrifice our own interests for someone else. Charlie did that to me, talking about good health. He did that for me today at the Cheesecake Factory. He got the kind of cheesecake I wanted. That's a very unusual treat, but we do occasionally do it. And it's putting somebody else ahead. But that takes the Lord. It takes working on ourselves and just daily submitting to the Lord, but asking Him to give us a desire to have healthy marriages and to do the work. Marriage is work. Someone said that over here. A marriage is work. It is like a training. You have to commit yourself on a daily basis to stick with it. Some days are easier. Some days we do endurance runs. Some days we do tough runs. And each one teaches us something different. But marriage is a gift from God. And when we've entered into that covenant, we have made a promise before our husbands and before God to honor this commitment. And there's no better testimony to the world. But I think that we have to realize that we need help to love each other the way that we're called to love, and make it a priority in our lives to ask the Lord to work in our hearts and minds and lives, and to put His love in us so that we can give it and that we can share our lives so freely. It's just too easy to live with each other instead of to live truly united to one another. And yet the true joy and the purpose of the marriage is only experienced when we're united to each other. Just crossing paths doesn't do it. Having someone to eat dinner with doesn't do it. Sharing our lives together, sharing our hopes or dreams or hurts or fears, being there for each other is really what it's all about. And loving the Lord and bringing up families to love the Lord. And, I mean, that's where we're anchored. So I just really challenge us to all, and I challenge myself on a regular basis to make that a priority.
Well, I'll end with this. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians that talks about we hold this treasure in jars of clay. And it talks about the light of the gospel shines in the midst of broken pots, that our clay is fragile, and that's us. You know, we are human beings. We have as many challenges as any of the other marriages in this room. And some of you are greater testimonies to the light of Jesus and God's power and God's gospel than we ever will be. And I have seen in you and many of your marriages things that have awed me and been a testimony to me. And I know that some of you folks have been through some very, very challenging times. But, you know, the power is in the gospel. And that's what keeps it going. And all of us are broken. All of us have been through difficulties. But we hold the light in jars of clay. Well, you got me crying.
I didn't.
Okay, that's enough, James. I'm not going to talk anymore.
You are. We got an interview.